Ladies and gentlemen, baseball for everyone is back. Yes, welcome into First Pitch, your daily source of news, notes, and updates for all things Major League Baseball. I am your host, Troy Brock. You can find me on X at Troy B Baseball. He is Lindsey Crosby. You can find him on the X machine at Crosby Baseball. And Lindsey, we've got a lot to talk about. It is opening day. Happy opening day, sir.
This should be a national holiday, dude. I'm very, very hyped that we have baseball today. I'm very annoyed it doesn't start till 3 p.m. Eastern. Like, what are we doing? Why is there not a 12:05 game? And you just do this all day. What is going on here?
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And I feel like that has been the case over the past few years that they've had games earlier in the day than they have today.
The first game on Friday, 4:10 p.m. Eastern. What are we doing? This is your March Madness. Let me take 2 days off of work and just watch baseball all day. What are we doing?
Yeah, I saw some crazy article. I don't know if it's real or not, but I would get a vasectomy just so I could stay home all weekend and watch baseball for opening weekend.
The most common times of the year for that, when I had mine done, the doctor told me, were the week of the Masters and March Madness. Those are the two most common times. This would be the third. If you did Thursday and Friday, all day games, you start at noon and you go all day. Let's go. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. And we've got a lot of games to talk about. We're going to talk about our favorite matchups of the day. We're going to talk about our least favorite matchups of the day. We're going to talk about a Jim Bowden article where he gave 25 predictions, good or bad, you be the judge, but we're going to discuss some of those predictions for the 2025 season. And we have a major announcement at the end of the episode we think that all of you will love. Who knows? So stay tuned for that. But if you are watching on YouTube, drop a like, hit that subscribe button, turn on the notification icon. We are trying to reach 500 subscribers. We're getting closer and closer every day, and we appreciate each and every one of you. So help us reach that 500 mark. If you're listening on audio, hit that follow button and leave us a 5-star rating and maybe some words of affirmation. We haven't asked for those in quite a while, but we do still love words of affirmation here
at First Pitch. Send your friends to firstpitchpodcast.com. They can get every single episode of the show.
Absolutely, because I forget that website is right down there below the thing. But we're going to jump into this Jim Bowden article first before we talk about our favorite and least favorite matchups of the day and any other interesting games that may be happening on opening day. And Lindsey, this article, yeah, you sent it to me yesterday and you said you wanted to talk about it today because there's some good in here, there's some bad in here, and there's some in between in here. But out of these 25 predictions, let's start with, we'll save our most optimistic for Bowden for last. So which one do you hate the most?
From a Braves fan perspective, the one that I hate is Kyle Tucker signing for 14 years and $600 million with the Phillies. Take Nick Castellanos out of right field, stick Kyle Tucker in there for the next decade and a half. No, one of these in here is incredibly specific, and it's a point that I'm frustrated by. I don't like that this is considered a thing. Mm. Number three, Mariners pitchers Logan Gilbert, Colin Snyder, and Andre Munoz combine to throw the season's first no-hitter in Gilbert's third start of the year. Combined no-hitters should not be considered no-hitters.
Ooh. We started with the hot takes early.
It's great that you had multiple pitchers who were fresh go in there and throw and get and not allow anybody to get a hit. Part of what makes a no-hitter so tough to do is that you might be a starting pitcher who's at 112 pitches in the ninth with dudes you faced two times already, and you're trying to get these guys out a third time without allowing a hit. That's part of what makes a no-hitter special. I mean, it doesn't happen a ton, but it feels like, could you get a starter to go six and then grab three of your best relievers and throw them in a blowout just to lock down a no-hitter? You could. It should not count as a no-hitter unless it is one pitcher for nine innings. I would accept a combined no-hitter if the starter goes nine, but it's a 0-0 tie and it goes to extras. I would accept a combined no-hitter in that situation. To me, the starter going nine should matter. It's like a perfect game, right? Like, the starter needs to go nine with no base runners allowed.
Okay. Yeah, I kind of see your point there. I do like that take. You know, that is one of those takes that got you standing in the crowd like that man on the meme. But you're not alone. I'll stand with you on that one. I do like that take. I agree. And that one is very specific in his third start of the season.
Yeah, and naming the relievers that they're going to use too.
Right. Like, apparently Jim Bowden got the script for this season before anyone else
from MLB.
So. So yeah, mine is another pretty specific one that I don't really like. It's number 20. Bo Bichette signs a 5-year, $147 million deal to play third base for the New York Yankees. And I understand why, if Bo Bichette signed with the New York Yankees, he would play somewhere other than shortstop, because you know, Anthony Volpe is pretty good defensively. He's not great offensively, but he's a solid defensive shortstop. However, third base would still not be the case, or would not at least not be the best course of action, because Jazz Chisholm Jr. is a very good third baseman defensively for somebody who has never played the position before until last year. And he did phenomenally for the New York Yankees in the time that he served at third base. And you know what other position the New York Yankees could use? A second baseman.
Bo Bichette last year had 37th percentile arm strength. That's the profile of a dude you want to stick at third base for the next, what was that? He said 6 years, something like 5 years. 5 years. Yep. Plus, let's be honest, he's going to get more than 5 years. When's the last time a shortstop in his 20s hit free agency and only got 5 years?
Yeah. A shortstop in his that was 30 a couple of years ago hit free agency and got 13 years. So
who was that?
Oh, I don't want to talk about it, but he wears this jersey. But yeah, that one doesn't make much sense to me just from a logistical standpoint. I also think that Bo Bichette's going to get a deal much longer than 5 years. I also think he's going to get a deal that's much more expensive than $147 million, because we talked about it the other day. Outside of last year, he has been one of the better hitting shortstops in the sport. I think you had it the other day that he had a .299 batting average for his career outside of last year, or .293 to .299. It was somewhere around there. And so it's 5 years and $147 million. That's less than $30 million a year AAV. So that's kind of low in my opinion for Bichette, which I might be higher on Bichette than most, but it is what it is. We'll move on to our favorites now. And Lindsay, which one of these stands out to you as either the most either the one you think was most likely to happen, or just the one that you hope will happen out of all of these?
Honestly, the one that I kind of want to happen is that Sandy Alcantara and Jacob DeGrom win Comeback Player of the Year. Like, they're both some of the best pitchers in baseball, and DeGrom's the one that's, I think, riskier on this than Alcantara is. Mm-hmm. But just getting baseball's better when those guys are in it, and that's a really fun one that I like. I do also think that the Red Sox having all three of the big three up by June, carrying them to win the AL East by one game over the Yankees and three games over the Orioles, while I don't think the Yankees will be one game back of the Red Sox, I do think that getting those guys up has the potential to really change that Boston team, because their issue is going to be infield defense. Marcelo Meyer can help with that. And then just as the injuries come up, you get these young prospects and let them rake. So there's a couple of these that I like, but that's one of them. The Padres trading Dylan Cease to the Orioles was wild to me. Some of these trades don't make a lot of sense. Yeah. Orioles sending Kobe Mayo, who is considered to be, you know, one of the best slugging corner infielders in the minors right now, sending him for less than a full season of Dylan Cease. And lefty Cade Povich, when this is a team that doesn't have a lot of quality starters and doesn't have a lot of young guys, 41-year-old Charlie Morton's in your rotation. That's a lot to give up for a partial year of Dylan Cease, just to then turn around and sign Michael King to a giant deal. That was in there too. Mm-hmm. Like they'd make that trade, and then after the season, they signed Michael King for 5 years and $182 million. Just ask for Michael King then. Don't trade for Dylan Cease. Just trade for Michael King and extend him. What are we doing? You're making a trade, and then you're going to pop a qualifying offer for Michael King. Just trade for Michael King.
So, yeah. It
doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, no. I agree with you on that completely. It doesn't.
What's more unlikely, that the Orioles blow all of those, trade one of their top prospects for Dylan Cease, or that they actually spend the money to sign a top-tier free agent?
I think it's that they actually spend the money, honestly. I think they would send prospects before they spent any money. Yeah. I agree with you. If he thinks they're going to do that, or if he's predicting them to do that, then why not just go ahead and trade for Michael King? Especially when they're going to pay him as much as he expects them to pay him, which was like $187 million over 5 years. Also, a lot of five-year, three-year contracts, except for the Kyle Tucker deal. And I guess the Vladimir Guerrero Jr. deal that he predicted, which was 15 years, $577 million for Vladimir Guerrero Jr. with the Blue Jays, by the way, an extension, not a signing.
An extension before opening day, too. Like,
yeah.
They're talking about it happening today, tomorrow, sometime in the next couple of days. And Vlad's apparently open to it, but it's all going to be on it's all on Toronto actually spending the money. And they are apparently, supposedly, we're so far apart, I don't see it happening.
Yeah, I don't see that happening either. I think he's hitting free agency. But some of the ones I liked, you know, of course, I like the Andrew Painter being promoted to the big leagues first week of June. Yeah. Double-digit wins, ERA just over 3. It's solid start. Speaking of Andrew Painter real quick, did you see Jason Stark said that Andrew Painter is going to be Gerrit Cole in the major leagues?
Like, you know, I think the best thing you can do for a young player coming off of a catastrophic elbow injury is compare him to one of the league's best workhorses and a Cy Young winner. That is the absolute best thing you can do, especially with a fan base that is so patient and understanding like Philly's fan base is. The absolute best thing you can do. He's by far, like, you have that trio of really promising pitchers, the baby aces, and I'm glad nobody really hyped them up so that people weren't disappointed if they didn't work out. They're going to be great this year, right? What are we doing, Jason Stark? You don't have to compare these kids to some of the game's best players. Hey, this hitter in the minors reminds me an awful lot of Mike Trout. Jason Dominguez. Part of the reason we have prospect fatigue with Jason Dominguez is they were comparing him to Mickey freaking Mantle. What are we doing? Sorry. Been a pet peeve of mine ever since I was hosting the Prospect Podcast. Like, what are we doing, guys?
No, you're good. You're good. I like the Marlins trading Sandy Alcantara to the Red Sox. It would get him off of the Marlins, for one. And for B, it would get him to somebody who is going to be contending for the playoffs this year. In the
Boston, it does.
Get him off the Marlins, as well as getting him on a team that will be contending for the playoffs this year. And, you know, that's something that it would help the Boston Red Sox rotation, because they really need rotation help after Garrett Crochet and Walker Buehler. And it gives Sandy Alcantara a bigger stage to pitch on instead of Miami, where he's going to be in the cellar of all of Major League Baseball.
It kind of also fixes one of their problems of right now, Masataka Yoshida's hurt. So you're fine. But when he comes back, his DH spot has been taken by Rafi Devers. And so, like, you've got too many outfielders. And that's before you count on Roman Anthony coming up as well. Like, you have a position crunch. Even with an injury, you're still going to have a position crunch at in the outfield and at DH. So you can trade a major league piece of Willier Abreu. And then three prospects, Luis Perales, Franklin Arias, Juan Valera. I'm doubtful that Miami takes this package without getting one of the big three. But at the same time, a lot of their other deals were for smaller pieces and were not team's top prospects. They've seemed to have gone for a quantity over quality approach under Peter Bendix. So maybe they actually do make that deal. Speaking of trades, Royce Lewis to the Yankees for Henry Lelane, Cam Schlitter, and Oswald Peraza. Oswald Peraza is a failed prospect. Henry Lelane's one of their most promising prospects, but I think he was in like either single A or the complex league last year. And I've heard of Cam Schlitter once or twice, but don't know anything about him. It's the Twins trading Royce Lewis at the absolute bottom of his value. Yep. Like, it feels like he needs to be healthy and actually perform before they would consider moving him. And even then, I'm not sure if they're ready to just get out. It's not like he's prohibitively expensive or anything.
Right. Yeah. And we've seen that, you know, even though guys have a long injury history during their tenure with the Twins, they don't care about getting out from under them. They'll extend him. They'll give him a $100 million contract just because he's good the 20 games a year that he plays. So I also don't see that one happening. But yeah, this was a Jim Bowden article on The Athletic. If y'all want to take a look at the rest of them that we did not touch on, but those were just a few of them that stood out to us. As we pointed out, there's a few in there that are good and there's a lot in there that's bad, but it is on The Athletic. Just go in there and search for Jim Bowden and you can take a look at all of those. But let's dive into our matchups for today, Lindsay, and it's opening day. It's a lot of aces on the mound for most teams, and for other teams it's a lot of not aces because they're not going to be doing much in baseball this year. But out of all of these matchups,
like time windows you want to look at?
Okay.
Never mind, because everything's at 4 o'clock except for the one 7 o'clock game and two at 10. What, again, why are we not playing all day? Why is there one game at 7 o'clock? I know it's on ESPN, but still, one exclusive game and then two games at nighttime. Why are we not spread out more on this? Anyway. Yeah.
No, yeah, I also love that on this list they have every game listed as, Royals home opener, Astros home opener, Reds home opener. It's like, really? You think?
Yeah. Dodgers home opener. Yeah. Let me see. My favorite matchup here. Like, if I'm just a fan and want to watch, my favorite matchup here. That's tough. No, it's not. Skeens versus Alcantara. Give me Pirates versus Marlins. It's the only reason you have to watch either of these teams, and they're playing each other. It's Sandy coming back from Tommy John, Cy Young winner, workhorse versus who looks like he could be the next Cy Young winning workhorse in baseball. Skeens versus Alcantara is the best pitching matchup of the day.
Yeah. Yeah. That is a very good pitching matchup. And real quick, I am looking on here. Okay. There it is. I didn't see a day game on national television, and I was about to be even more mad than we already were about the whole scheduling thing.
ESPN has the Yankees, of course. Who else would they have but the Yankees?
Yeah.
The two Yankees teams ESPN's Brewers playing today are the Yankees and the Dodgers.
Yep. And those look like the only nationally broadcasted games today. So great job, MLB, on that. You're doing great there, Rob Manfred. My matchup. I think we should pick different ones here just to make it a little more interesting like we did with our awards. But my matchup in that case, I'm a closeted Braves fan, I guess, because it's going to be Chris Sale and Michael Keane. That's a fantastic matchup in the 4 o'clock window there. And it's the Braves and the Padres, you know, the Padres knocked the Braves out of the playoffs last year. Chris Sale is looking to defend his National League Cy Young. Michael King is getting an opening day start after transitioning from being a reliever and in a contract year.
Also the storylines here, like there's extra storylines in these games. Storyline one, Jerks and Profar coming back to San Diego, left them in free agency. You just hit mute. You went on mute as you said that. And then Michael King, when he made that playoff start against Atlanta, 7 scoreless innings, 5 hits, no walks, 12 strikeouts. Can Atlanta figure out Michael King? Because they sure as hell didn't do it in the postseason. So, like, there's some really interesting matchups. And, like, obviously, they didn't have Austin Riley. Ozzie Albies was hitting solely righty. He couldn't switch hit. They didn't have Ronald Acuña. Like, there's changes now versus last year. But, like, a lot of matchups here, a lot of storylines here that are really interesting. Like, even if I wasn't a Braves fan, I would probably have this on one of the TVs. I'd have Sandy versus Skeens on the main TV, but this would be on one of the other TVs.
Yeah. Oh yeah, 100%. It's gonna be a hell of a pitching matchup. Both teams have good lineups, and you pointed out the storylines in that game, and you did a good job of writing about those storylines in your newsletter today, in the Braves Today newsletletter. So
thank you. Thank you, BravesToday.com. If you're a newsletter fans, by the way, stay tuned a little bit later in the show. Let me throw it back at you real quick. Best individual pitcher that you want to watch, not on your team, so not Zach Wheeler, but who is the pitcher starting today that you're most excited to see how they do?
The most excited to see how they do.
And if you want, I'll answer first because I've surprised you with this.
Yeah, you go first.
I'll take Garrett Crochet. Right. Okay. Subject of a big trade from the White Sox to the to the Red Sox. This is his second consecutive opening day start. Last year's opening day start was his first ever start in the majors. But I mean, I talked about him. I've talked about him on a couple different podcasts and radio hits now. I think he could be a Cy Young contender this year. And so I'm excited to see how he does against the Rangers, who mostly back to full health. You can see them trying to get back to their 2023 slugging ways where they won the World Series. I think Garrett Crochet versus that lineup is going to be really interesting to watch. It's going to be a fun matchup, and I'm excited to see what Crochet himself does.
Yeah, that's a very good pick. For me, it's going to be kind of along the same lines, a reliever transitioning to a starter. And for work, I kind of have to watch this game, and it's going to be Clay Holmes. He had a fantastic spring training. It wasn't against the best competition. I think he finished the spring with like a 8 as far as competition rating, whatever it's called on Baseball Reference. Yeah. So essentially,
which is still, it's still pretty good. I mean, an 8 is still pretty nice. It's just not, I guess that's higher than a lot of other guys get, but it's not all major leaguers. He did still face minor leaguers and prospects and stuff.
Right. But exactly.
Like, added that kick change, things like that. Going to be really interesting to see what he can do against the Astros, who rookie Cam or prospect Cam Smith made the team.
Yeah.
He's going to be playing right field. And you're going to have Jose Altuve in left.
Yeah, it's an interesting outfield over there in Houston. You got a rookie in right field and a man sporting a walker in left field. And so it's going to be interesting to watch. And it's going to be,
I was going to say a man on a like perpetually that needs a step stool, but okay.
I like that too. That's funny too.
Can we give some flowers to the nationally televised matchup at 7:10 Eastern between the Tigers and the Dodgers, Tarik Skubal and Blake Snell. I think between them, they've won 2 of the last 3 Cy Youngs somewhere in there. Because Snell won one recently, Skubal won last year. I don't think the Tigers lineup is that fantastic, but I'm just excited for the pitching matchup. How does Skubal handle the Dodgers lineup? No Mookie still, I believe. Although he has turned a corner, apparently. He kept food down the other day for the first time. So
nice. I missed that. Awesome.
But like Skubal and Snell, that's going to be a fun one to watch. Obviously, nationally televised. We'll all get to see it. That's exciting.
And it's a West Coast game that's not at freaking 11 o'clock at night. So that's good.
Thank goodness. Yes. That's going to be the bane of my existence this year, is those West Coast games.
Oh, it really is. It really is going to be the bane of your existence. And we'll talk about that tomorrow. Yeah. But let's do our least most looking forward to pitching matchup, however you want to word that properly. I write for a living. I'll go first in this one since I already know who yours is, and we'll still pick different ones because I'll leave that
really
one for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank
you. I'm gonna go with Pablo Lopez and Sonny Gray. I know
former teammates, Sonny Gray used to be a Twin, but yeah, that's not super exciting, is it?
I give the Twins a lot of hate. I really don't hate the Twins. I really have nothing against the Twins. It's just I'm not as high on this team as a lot of other people.
Not a very exciting team.
Yeah, it's not. It's a lot of people that get hurt a lot. The pitching's decent. Pablo Lopez is their best pitcher. And I mean, how good is your pitching going to be when you say Pablo Lopez is your best pitcher? And then for the Cardinals, they're in a rebuild, but they refuse to admit that they're in a rebuild, and it's Sonny Gray. I mean, he's good, but again, when he's your best pitcher, how good is your pitching staff when Sonny Gray is the ace? I am a big Brendan Donovan fan, you know, South Alabama represent. South in your mouth, go Jags. But other than that, that's just not a matchup I'm looking forward to. So how about you, Lindsay? What about yours?
Thank you for saving the worst one that we both identified for me. Yusei Kikuchi versus Sean Burke, Angels at White Sox. Nothing against Yusei Kikuchi. He was really good when he got traded to Houston last year down the stretch. Signed really early in free agency, signed a good deal with the Angels to be the number one.
We broke it here on this podcast.
Yeah, it happened while we were recording. But Kikuchi versus Burke is not one that I would pay to watch.
No.
Like, it's not exciting at all. Nothing against Sean Burke. You know, he's a talented young player. But, like, if this is your opening day matchup, it kind of tells you the fates of both of these teams this season, right? The likely outcomes for both of these teams if this is your opening day matchup.
Yeah, there's a lot in for the Angels that has to go right this year, especially on the offensive side of the ball, because the starting rotation is not going to be that great. Unless Yusei Kikuchi can take whatever he learned at the pitching factory down in Houston over to Los Angeles, but we'll have to wait and see for that. It's definitely not an exciting matchup, not also one I'm not looking forward to. When we first talked about this before we went live, you looked on there and you said, which one stands out to you as the worst? And I said, let me find the White Sox.
And it was that one. It turns out it was that one. If they were playing the Dodgers to open the year, it maybe be different. But they're facing the Angels, and it's like, you know, the Angels are trying, but they're trying kind of incompetently. They're trying kind of like the two-year-old tries to play baseball with like the 6 and 7 year old older brother. And it's like, you're just kind of out there. You're not actually. Yeah. I mean, even the A's matchup, A's at Mariners, Luis Severino, who was good for the Mets last year, versus Logan Gilbert. Like, that's an intriguing matchup. Even if the Mariners offense is terrible and Oakland, the entire rest of the Oakland pitching staff is not good. Like, that's still an intriguing matchup.
Yeah.
Even Justin Steele versus Zach Gallen.
Yeah.
That's not a bad matchup in the late night slot, you know, but come on. It's Kikuchi Burke. Let's not go. Which of these games ends up being the most lopsided in a surprising way at the end of the day? Again, threw that on you. You were not prepared for that. So let me, so I will answer first if you want me to.
Yeah, please.
But I think we might end up being surprised by the result of Brewers Yankees.
Yeah.
I know it's in Yankee Stadium. Carlos Rodon against the Brewers. We've been down on the Brewers, but I don't know if I could be downer on the Yankees than I am right now. Like, yeah. It's Aaron Judge, Jazz Chisholm, and the boys. I don't think Paul Goldschmidt's got much left. Cody Bellinger is going to get a slight bump from the short porch and right, but I don't think he's the same player that he even was when he had that big year with the Cubs, never mind the MVP form. I think the Brewers, and this is for everybody in the Discord, he always complains I hate on the Brewers. I think the Brewers are going to take it to the Yankees today. This could be, I don't know if we're going to get to position player pitching in this game, but we could be on position player watch. I'll put it that way. This could be Aaron Judge might hit a homer, but other than that, this might be 9-2 or something ridiculous like that. I just think the Brewers are going to beat Carlos Rodon pretty handily.
Yeah, Carlos Rodon as the opening day starter was a questionable choice. For me, I'm going to go, I know you talked about this as a good matchup, but I think the Athletics have a lot to prove this year. I think the Athletics are going to take it to Logan Gilbert and the Mariners tonight. I think that offense, the Athletics offense, who finally turned it on last year, Brent Rooker, Lawrence Butler, Logan Ohapi, I think they're going to really, they're coming out this year with a lot to prove. And I think a lot of people are still sleeping on the Sacramento Athletics, and they really shouldn't be, because they're a lot better than people expect this year. So I think that one's not going to be close. Obviously I think Logan Gilbert's going to be good down the stretch and for the majority of the season. But as far as opening day goes, I see the Athletics putting it on the Mariners.
Can I be a hater for a minute? Yeah. Okay. Should I play the clip? I'm going to put the clip.
I'm a hater, man. I don't think you want to ask me that. I am a hater, so I'm going to just leave it at that.
I'm not going to leave it at that. Listen, I'm starting to doubt the Cubs. I don't think the Cubs are as good as we thought they were. I think the Diamondbacks are going to take it to the Cubs tonight. I like Justin Steele. He's a good starter. I like their rotation. I just don't know if the Cubs are as good as we thought they were. And that could be another game that's in danger of a position player pitching.
All right. There we go. Hot take Central here on First Pitch. And
real quick, let's make your announcement.
Yes. Yes. So First Pitch, we are branching out to bring you more and more content all of the time. We want to be your everywhere source for baseball content. We now have a newsletter through Substack. So if you want, go to firstpitchnewsletter.substack.com. I will put the link in the description for audio and YouTube, and find our Substack or find our newsletter there. Subscribe to it. It's going to be daily. So even on the weekends, I'll be putting out a newsletter to kind of fill in those gaps, because as the season is now back, we're going to be progressing more to recaps and previews. And we'll do major news, of course, and we have other announcements coming, but we want to bring you more and more content and be your everywhere source. And so we now have a newsletter. So go find that firstpitchnewsletter.substack.com. The first issue went out this morning. And if you're watching on, thank you, Lindsay. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button, turn on that notification icon. We're trying to get 500 subs, so help us get there. Go to firstpitchpodcast.com. That website's right down there at the bottom. I'll try to remember that. And if you're listening on audio, leave a like, leave a 5-star rating and some words of affirmation. And until next time, this has been First Pitch.